Hello, welcome to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fojo. He is a voice called to restore the dignity of humanity, to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the true identity of Christ in us, to raise and build people of absolute dominion, to raise a fearless generation, to bring salvation to the unsaved, revival to the brokenhearted, liberate men from captivity, to reveal the absoluteness of the Holy Ghost, to break the walls of denomination and bring about unity in the body of Christ across the continent. And now, today's message.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Let's do from the verse number 1. It's a very deep topic, but I'm just praying that God will give us the grace so we're able to walk in the very life He has in mind for us. I read. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The verse number 2. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. So I'll be very glad if you can take notice of what Paul said in the first verse and the second verse. The first verse, he made mention of the things they have received. The second verse was about the testimony God gave them. The verse number 3. Hear this. For by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of the Lord, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The verse number 4, our last emphasis. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. I want to teach you on a message entitled The Mystery of Faith. And I'll be very glad to have your attention. Now hear this. I told you on Friday that the average believer has been taught to understand that all things can be possible when a man prays. It is very true. When you go before the Lord seeking for answers for all that you desire, God can even do more than what you expect. But He's only expected to give what you deserve when the things you pray to God for are inconsistent with His will. I repeat. When you go before the mercy throne seeking for answers, and all that you desire are things that pertain to a man's flesh, neglecting the kingdom agenda, there are many things you cannot receive. Because God does not honor a man's desire until your desire falls in alignment with God's will. Does it make sense? So for instance, people have been praying to God for a very long time concerning things, and they are asking themselves, why am I not receiving the things I'm believing God for? And God says, even though I expect you to have belief in me, that belief must be grounded on the system of alignment. Talk to me, somebody. So when you pray to God asking God for things and things are not manifesting, sometimes it might not be a demon fighting your life, just that you are not praying as God desires. Watch me. I want you to know that every will that a man projects has the backing of a spirit. There's no way a man is permitted to have a desire without, you know, just opposing with the spirit. In other words, whatever you do becomes the effort of the divine. So just imagine praying to God for something when God is inconsistent with that will. You project the enemy's face as though God has said so. Watch me. If you think that because God is good, good things are always happening to you, you'll be out of order. Do you know why? Because what God describes as good is not what a man sees, but the identity a man possesses. Am I communicating, friends? So God is telling somebody here that even though the things which were not visible came into visibility because God says, all these things happened because it was consistent with God's will. So faith is not strong unto faith is in alignment with God's will. Oh, am I communicating, church? You see, many people are believing God for the wrong things. Look at me. I don't believe any father here or any responsible mother here would ever give their new car key to a 5-year-old child. Talk to me, somebody. I hope you're aware that sometimes your children may want to drive, isn't it? But there's no way you would ever rush to give that 5-year-old child your car key. Not because you hate the child, but you value the life of the child more than the person's passion. Does it make sense? So when people pray to God for things and things are not coming, God values your life more than a passion. Talk to me, somebody. Oh, am I communicating, church? So you see, many people have fasting, and at a point in time, they feel disappointed. The man of God, I have prayed all the prayers in life, and it seems God is not hearing me. God has heard you. Just that if he blesses you, what he will give you kill you before time. Am I communicating, church? So that idea where people have this feeling that faith is grounded on belief, and it's not wrong, but it's not utterly right. Because it is possible to believe God for the wrong thing. That idea where people perceive that you can receive anything through God is very true, but it must be in alignment with what God has said. Anything God has not said, his integrity cannot back. Anything God has not spoken, creation cannot accept it. You appeared because God spoke into existence. Well, am I complicating, friends? You didn't appear just because your parents wanted to have a child. You appeared because God says, let this man appear, and you appeared. So even though you are passionate in prayer, be consistent with God's will. I told you on Friday that it is easier to pray when you hear God. A proof of an answered prayer might not always be the justification of a man's desire, but also what you hear. You didn't hear me. When Daddy was speaking about his son that has passed into eternity, hear this word. Daddy said that there are certain answers that a man is not permitted to know until we cross over into the other side. Am I communicating? You see, the weight of certain spiritual information are so powerful that the man is so limited to understand it. If God is to release whatever you want to know about yourself in time, there will be no honor in eternity. Amen, Father mine. Oh, am I complicating, church? Am I preaching here? So, this is Paul telling us here that there is a faith that will make you receive, and there is a faith that will cause a man to become. Hear the message here. There is a faith that will cause a man to receive your expected desires. And there is a kind of faith that will cause a man to reflect your expected desires. Now, these two are powerful. But hear this. If you continually receive from the Lord, you are limited. Because the assignment of Jesus was to cause us to rise as sons and daughters. The Bible says, for the earnest expectation of the world awaits what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Now look at me. There are three realms of authority. The first realm of authority is a child. When a man is a child, all you know about God is the God that gives you things. Are you aware many believers are not grounded in the kingdom? All they know about Jesus is the God that will always give them when they pray to God for things. But they don't know that there's always a responsibility dimension to whatever they do. In other words, God depends on you to bring about kingdom expansion. So if your concern about Christ is what he gives you, you become a child. Because children are not possession oriented. Talk to me, somebody. Oh, praise God. So if I'm to ask you to write down your prayer points, 90% will be about what God will give me. Now, you see, the Lord says before he gives you what you pray to God for, there should be the testimony of capacity. Talk to me, church. Oh, talk to me, church. Now, if people get to realize that the life I live is no more about myself, but about the kingdom, you now become a son of God. Now, sons don't have feelings. They don't care about what happens to them. So Apostle Paul says, what at all can separate us from the love of the Father? Even death is too small to kill me before time. You see, sons don't care what happens to them. Their ultimate concern is the king's desire. Am I communicating? So Jesus would pray the whole night and preach the whole day. And they were like, Master, you should rest. Now that there is time, let me do what my Father has asked me to do before the night draws near. These are sons. They project the image of the Father. Am I communicating, church? The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the express image of the thought of God. In other words, whatever God was thinking, Christ exuded that. Now watch me. When a man becomes powerful in sanction, and there is no depletion in character, then that becomes an elder. Now hear this. An elder is the one that God depends on his life to bring about kingdom laws. So God says, would I ever hide anything from Abraham? I told you on Friday. But how did somebody serve idol for 75 years? Yet, the only thing God could do for the man was just to give the man a child, but to make the man a kingdom law in the spirit. So just believing God for something physical, when God's ultimate desire is to make you greater than this, is a pain. Watch me. If you are believing God for something, and what you are asking God for is not manifesting, don't blame the devil. You see, the devil is not powerful. Your ignorance about his technicalities makes him powerful. You need to clap your hands here. So, am I right? Your ignorance about the enemy system makes him very powerful. Is that right? It is easier for someone to say, Kai, the way my visa is not working, eh? I think my mother somewhere is fighting me. Okay. This is not to say that enemies, they do exist. But you see, when a man lives in God's will, if in God's umbrella, he cannot be touched. Because what you can is called the Shekinah glory. Am I complicating, friends? Please hear this. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that if God must honor a man and give a man something that you call faith, there are two things he needs from you. Number one, he needs your act of obedience. Nobody has ever walked in life and never became any potent force until they live the life of total obedience. You see, many people think it is hard obeying God's voice, but they don't know that disobedience is the highest. No, the price you pay in dishonoring God, you will live your whole life regretting that. I'm telling you. Anybody that at any point in their life failed to honor God for some strange reasons, they ask themselves, what do I do to bring back lost time? When God speaks and you decide not to listen to his voice, you know what happens to you? He takes you out of destiny. Because in the rest of the spirit, a man's spirit is his foundation. Anytime God realizes you have a heart to receive from him, he wants to see what you can do for him. A man that can't obey has no life. A man that has no honor for obedience can't live. God has never measured your life in age. You can be 100, you can be 75, you can be 85. It is a testimony on earth, not in heaven. Because in the realm of heaven, there's no time. Time is yesterday, time is today, time is tomorrow, there's no time. I'm telling you. So assuming you are matured because of the age you carry is a big lie. Because 75 on earth for Abraham in the realms of the spirit was only a child for him. I'm telling you. You see, if you can't obey, there's no need for you to pray to God. Because when you pray, incense comes from your body. King Saul didn't know that in the realms of the spirit, he was created by God to inherit that throne for his generations to come. But the Bible says pride entered his heart through the pressure of men. And he thought, let me rather obey the voice of men than to obey God's voice. Look at me. It is easier to pray in destiny than to pray in passion. Amaya, Bonamos, Avelemaya, Iman, TV, Hassas. Give me the strength. Lord, help me. Look at me. Apostle, come here. This is our man of God here. I want you to know that our man of God here has two lives. He has the physical life and he has the destined life. Hear this. He has the physical life and he has the destiny life. Now, for a very long time, we keep telling church members that destiny is what a man becomes in the future. It is very true, but it's still not accurate. Because the life in Christ cannot be pegged in time. He lives a limitless life. So you can't call destiny future. Because the future for men is the past in eternity. In amount. Watch this. If our bishop here becomes an apostle one day and is commanding crowd, we'll be forced to say the way he has waited upon God for years, God has paid him off a sacrifice. It is true. Now, there has to be that futuristic testament of his faith. But that cannot be called destiny. Because destiny, according to God, is a life in Christ that he gives to men to live by based on alignment. So he might see himself speaking to the crowd, whereas in the rest of the spirit, he's been called as a gatekeeper over a whole city. He might not even see in details the worth of his consecration. Watch this. If our man of God here decides to do what makes him comfortable, he might not see the immediate effect of his action. You know why? Because time was not created to tell a man's error. Time will only expose your error to you. And when time tells you your error, that will be when you are actually veering off God's path. In destiny, when you seek for mercy, you'll be forgiven. But trust will be taken away from you. Do you know why? Because when God speaks, his presence abides him. So just imagine disregarding God's voice for something you could easily say yes to. Look at me. If our brother here forgets that God is using him for his will and not because of his will, and he does what he likes, when he prays out of order, many people have actually left their path because they chose their feelings. You can be passionate about the work you do, and it's a work of consecration. So God says, faith that will cause a man to become is built on obedience. What does God say? Am I blessing somebody here? Somebody say hallelujah. Am I preaching here? You see, many people have this perception that because God loves me too much, he must give me what I want. No. The love of God constrains. Am I communicating, church? Look at me. There is no honor to your Christianity if you speak in tongues and disobey him. Oh, did you hear that? Can I say this here? In our world today, because we have access to social media, anybody can come out and say anything about the church, and we have gullible people supporting the person. Now, Betty lives in London. He will tell you that most of the churches in London now are being bought by Muslims. He will tell you. Most of the churches are owned by Muslims. Now, when they buy the churches, they break the cross and they put their sign on it. And they change the whole settings and they put Imam, Allah, everything inside. And some go to the extent of even erasing the name of Jesus Christ and they put Allah is greater. Now, in politics, they have pushed their men there. In business, they've put their everywhere. And you can never take away their belief from them. A Muslim doesn't mind praying in public. A believer can be fasting. And just because around your friends, you feel shy to tell them you are fasting. So you eat just to please them. A Muslim can die and tell you Allah will give me 72 virgins in heaven. But tell a believer that publicly confess Jesus is Lord, it's a pain for them. Even to evangelize is not a problem for you. No. You see, gradually, we are only attesting of God's power in the four corners of our churches. But territorially, there's no effect because men can't obey. It's serious. Now, the only time a believer experiences power is when they come to church. Within the four corners of our building, we see power. But territorially, we can't see the power. Meanwhile, God has made us a government where the rivers of life must flow through us, but we can't obey. Eh? No matter how passionate we are, when there's no passion of obedience, you cannot be honored by God. I fear for you if you married because you felt like marrying somebody and God didn't speak. Your life is too small. No. You don't know what you want until destiny proves into your existence. Years ago, the things you don't value again were the most important assets to you. Some years ago, Nokia 99 was the best anybody could have. But you see, when the change took place, people don't value again. Look at me. God will never, never stand still because you mess up. When you mess up, God has a backup. Am I communicating? I'm telling you. The secret to great men and longevity is obedience. It's as simple as that. Don't tell me you believe in God. No, that belief has no root until there's an obedience. Am I complicated? Watch this. Moses has lived his course. He's about to finish his work. Close to 40 years now. The people pressured him and told him, it was better you made us die in the hands of the slaves than to bring us here. The Bible says God told him that you are going to see a rock. I need you to stretch forth your rod. Water will come so they can drink of the water. The Bible says out of anger, he now hits the rock with his rod. Now, for all this while, Moses knew God as Yahweh. He didn't know God to also be the rock of ages. He knew the God that sits in the clouds. He didn't know God can become anything at any time for his own use. So Yahweh became the rock of ages. And God says, how dare you, mortal man, hit an immortal being with a physical rod when angels literally bow? I gave you an order to listen to what I say, yet you chose what I had told you. What happened? The Bible says this. It says, your eyes will see Canaan, but your feet will never enter there. Eh? It is painful to know what your life should become, and you don't become the experience of it. That dream you see is not a fallacy, the truth. But what should bring you to your dream or promised land? To be it. So when you tell me you have faith in God, the faith must be grounded on what God has said. Have a seat here. Am I communicating? Watch this. The Bible says, for by it, the elders obtain a good testimony. So there is a testimony you share because of what God has done for you. And the testimony God shares because of you. We sing na ra na ra na 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 rekele na rekele. We sing na rekele. The Bible says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Look at me, friends. Listen to the testimony of Abel. The Bible says that it was because of the faith he had in God. Even after his physical departure, his blood is still speaking. Okay, let's do Hebrews 11 verse 4. The Bible never said his blood spoke. Hebrews 11 verse 4. He says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. The Bible didn't say he spoke. He's still talking. Now hear this. The Bible says they were honored to have brought before the Lord an offering. That was his gift. The Holy Ghost attested that it was a good gift. Now my question is this. Why will somebody give an offering to you and you allow death call the person's name? Talk to me, somebody. If I call you to bring 10,000 CDs now, in your mind, you feel you have bribed God. Because you feel that the money is so big that God cannot resist to allow any evil happen to you. Talk to me, Jay. The Bible says he brought his first offering, first tidings to God. Yet, his brother succeeded in killing him. God did not speak. Until it was after his blood spoke to God, that God says, let me avenge on my son's behalf. My question is, if we claim that faith is what will make a man receive, why was it that longevity was not given to the man after he gave his gift to God? If the whole idea of faith is to receive, this man should have received long life. Yet in this context, the Bible says it was after he died that God called a righteous man. Of what importance is righteousness given unto man after death? And God told him, what a man becomes is more important when he receives in life. Look at me. Certain miracles are not needed now. Not because God cannot bless you with that. He wants that testimony that he, God, can attest of you. And then it's built through obedience. Am I communicating? Yes. I repeat. Life will give you many options. But remember, God has never changed. Oh, yeah? Life will give you many options. But God has never changed. Now, I need you to write these words for me. And never forget these words. You will one day leave this world. You may leave now. You may leave tomorrow. It may be painful. People may cry. People may weep. People may even ask God questions. Why has God permitted this to happen to you? Some may not receive answers. Hear this. The most important aspect of your departure is not how, but where you go. Now, I want you to know that your life does not end the day you give up on your breath. Your life actually ends when you depart from God. Because death, according to scripture, is the cessation of eternal life. What you call death is the entrance into the higher life. You may be crying, why has God allowed somebody leave? Yet if you are to see beyond time the glory given to this person, you won't even cry again. You may ask, why will God allow this happen to a young lady? Meanwhile, the person's act of service to God has given the person a credible position in the heavens. That they would have wished to have even come earlier. Because in that place, there's no pain. There's no guilt. There's no filth. But hear this. The Bible says that even though Jesus said it is finished on the cross of Calvary, he's still making intercession for us. That should tell you, destiny is not future. Destiny is eternal. Whatever realm a man enters in God's kingdom here on earth, through whatever you discover, through patterns in the spirit, become it in the spirit. I repeat. What will bring a man into maturity in the kingdom is how you are able to discover patterns in the spirit. There was no Bible in the days of Abraham. Yet, the Bible says, through his consistency, The Lord says that action you partook of is called faith. So you might call faith as belief when God calls faith as Abraham. Look at me. You may have a physical name, but God doesn't just call people names for naming them sake. Every name you see Jesus giving anybody is a revelation of what a man can do. It was not God that told the Israelites, I'm called Jehovah Jireh. Through revelation, they could perceive who he was through the actions he performed. Come here, friends. Look at me. Faith will not cause a man to receive. It will cause a man to become. Now look at me. As I'm saying goodbye to you, hear this message. When the Lord brings you into accuracy in the spirit, the testament of the saint will not be about what you received. Because in that realm, gift has no command. You might call me a prophet because I can prophesy. But according to God and his laws, I'm only a witness of his gift. You may call somebody the psalmist because they can download hymns from the spirit. But according to God, they are only a witness of the gift they have seen. Just imagine bragging that you are powerful for the things you perform. When you enter that realm, you will know it has no value. Just imagine you call yourself Paul. Eh? Because you have passion for the man's ministry and you meet Paul in person. What can you see? How does a man sit and then write 2/3 of the New Testament? And God says, my breath has been released upon these things. A man was so accurate that what they wrote becomes God's breath. Oh. If it is God's will for you to go through pain so you can see joy, let it happen. Oh, no, wait. You may be like, oh, God, I think I've prayed for a child. You don't give the issue is not a child. No. It was not Isaac that made Sarah Sarah. It was her discovery that made Sarah. Hey, children are not only what people give birth to in the spirit. Sometimes the things they discover become their own child too. No. Yes, in the death of Abel, he was called a righteous man. Because faith will first make a man become. Tell somebody, what has God told you? Rabbi, we are hungry. He says, get me some bread and get me some fish. What happened? The Bible says he lifted the bread and gave God thanks. And the people began to eat. Now hear this. He didn't pray that there should be an increase. He gave God thanks. Because the instruction for multiplication was thanksgiving and not a request. You see, find out the instruction system in any miracle you see. You know God does not act anyhow. Your hands on your chest and lift up the other hand and close your eyes. You are telling God, Father, help me obey your voice. Help me honor your voice. Help me listen to your voice. I don't want to fail you. I want my faith to be grounded upon Jesus, the Son of the living God. Lift your voice and pray right now. Lift your voice and pray. 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 Rapaya Masha.
Rampas of a Sukata, Rebes Sofana Labahata, Rapapa Shavada Balakate de Beha, Shanta,
lift your voice and pray.
Rantate, Madoska,
lift your voice and pray. Ekata Baba, Lord help us. Evatema, lift your voice and pray someone. Eta Baba Baba. Now be on your feet, everybody, and lift your hands above your head. You pray your final prayer right here. Lift up your hands. You are telling the Lord, Father, grant me the grace to perceive your voice. Do you believe that? Give me the grace to perceive your voice. Look at me. You see, it is dangerous when God speaks and a man decides not to obey. Does it make sense? It is too dangerous when a man should speak and then you make up your mind not to obey. Because anytime the Lord speaks, he brings you into the assembly of the saints where you are given the ability to attest of his glory. Lift up your hands. Father, grant me the grace of perception.
Jesus.
The ability to know when you've spoken to me.
Yes, Lord.
May I not miss my crown.
Jesus.
May I not miss my glory.
Yes, Lord.
All that destiny intends for me, may I not miss it.
In the name of Jesus.
Give me the grace to obey your voice. Lift your voice and pray right now.
Pray for the grace to obey your voice, Lord.
Father, grace,
release grace to hear you. Release
grace
to obey you totally. Father, grant unto us the grace to
lift your voice and pray.
To walk in what you have instructed us. In the name of the Lord Jesus,
may we obey your voice, Lord.
Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands above your head. I speak over your life,
yes, Lord,
that in this season of grace,
Jesus,
your heavens are opened.
Amen.
In this season of glory,
yes, Lord,
your life will encounter God.
Amen.
It is well with your soul.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not lose your crown.
Amen.
You will not lose your crown.
Amen.
It is well with your soul.
Amen.
Let us say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, and God bless you for listening to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjo. Don't forget to share with us how this message has been a blessing to you and your family on +324 920904 54 or email us at office@benjaminfodjo.org. Follow Prophet Benjamin on Facebook, YouTube, podcast at Prophet Benjamin Fodjo. On Instagram is Benjamin_Fodjo. Twitter is Senior Benjamin Fodjo. And on WhatsApp website is www.benjaminfojo.org. Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fojo. The vision, the mission, the passion.